Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Hope you're all well. Good friend of ours, Tim Lacombe, is going to join us coming up here in just a moment.
How was Coach Lacombe over the weekend?
It's great. Killed it. Tell you what, there's very few things more entertaining than sitting and watching a Jazz game with him.
I know. He's probably excited to get rid of us and get
you. I think you're right on that.
That kind of bums me out because I had a lot of fun doing some radio with him.
Yeah. Well, we're going to do some radio with him here in a second.
But I liked, like you mentioned, I like sitting at, you know, just sitting here and watching the games with him, talking about life. You know, he's
got some stories, by the way.
He's one of the better guys that I know that you can just sit around and talk life with. No judgment, just, you know, some helpful tips. And he's been to a rodeo or two.
Yeah. Well, I won't go into any details because he would get very upset at this, but we'll just be sitting down, and Coach Lacombe joins us right now. And Coach, I hope you're okay telling the story, but we're just sitting watching a Jazz game, and all of a sudden Coach's phone rings, and we're like, oh, it's this guy. And then about 10 minutes later, he's like, oh, it's this guy. And I'm like, holy crap, Coach is dialed in. He got some of the who's who of basketball calling him at all given times of the day. I'm like, geez, this guy's a high roller here. How you doing, Coach?
I'm doing good. You know, I think ever since I grew the ponytails, when people think I've got a little substance to me or something, they call and want to chat. You know, Hans wanted an autograph for the first hour, but we got through it.
It bums me out to think that Jake Scott's coming back, and you're just all kinds
he's
of happy.
He's just like, I'm so happy Jake's back.
No, hey, I'm going to tell you guys, I had a blast last week. It was and Jake, as you guys know, is so good at what he does. But it was kind of, you know, for the very end of the season, kind of that last, so the week before the last week, which is, you know, kind of like your last lap on a mile. It's just kind of, it was nice to see some new faces. And I'll tell you one thing, we laughed a ton. I laughed with all three of you guys.
Oh, yeah.
Man, we laughed. And so that's really what. If you can laugh and cry in a day, man, you got it made. So it was great.
So, Coach, I want to take you back to some Jimmer Fredette days. When Jimmer, what was he averaging attempt-wise? Was he up in the mid-20s in his final season?
Ooh. I would imagine so. I don't, it was crazy. I don't know that. But my guess is I don't know if he took 20. But I'm going to look it up while you're talking.
I got it right here.
Okay.
Let's see. His last year, he did break 20. He was at 20.7.
Okay. So, yeah, right around there.
About 8.5 threes a game attempted, by the way, too. But, hey, if you're shooting 40%, fire away, big fella.
Yeah, they were hard threes, right?
Yeah.
They weren't these catch and shoot threes. These were like the famous picture on Sports Illustrated where he's about 3 or 4 feet off the ground, you know, in front of Stephen Gray, the Gonzaga guy, just blasting one in his mug. He made hard ones, and so yeah, he was that kid could really shoot it.
But the reason I bring that up is, you know, I was watching Golden State play Oklahoma City the other night. It was the second game, not the first. They played them in back-to-back games, and I'm just watching Steph. Everything Steph's getting, he's just hoisting. He put up 26 shots, and 21 of the 26 was from three. But that's beside the point. Now, I know he's making them, and Golden State's winning right now. They're 4-1 in the last five. But is there ever a point where the players around him are kind of like, hey, man, can you dish that around? Like, was there ever a point you think that guys around Jimmer were like, hey, you think you could dish that around? Or is everybody just happy to keep their mouth shut and working on the other end of the court?
I'm sure, you know, we're all human. And, you know, I think early on, you know, when Jimmer was just kind of putting Jimmer together, I think there was a lot more chatter that way. But really our team got in a really good rhythm where, you know, Jimmer was going to get a lot of usage and he was going to come through, and guys knew that. Again, Scotty said he was shooting 40% from three, so you felt really good with the shots he took. But, you know, it wasn't completely peaceful all the time. There were things you'd have to massage. things you'd have to talk through. And I would assume that Steph Curry's probably a little bit different right now, especially. All you got to do is look through the roster, and there's not a whole lot of other guys that are going to do it. You know, it's all well and good to have total equity in shot selection and that sort of thing, but at the end of the day, there's a reason he's taking as many as he's taking, because he's probably the best that's ever done it. And I know that's saying a whole lot, but it just this year's kind of put it on a whole nother level, where he literally is out there with a bunch of also-rans, and he is absolutely dominating. His usage rate is 33.5%. You know, he's a guy who's going to have it in his hand. And so when you play them, you just better be ready for a whole dose of Curry, extra spicy.
So I've always looked at, you know, the guys that I just you love watching shoot the basketball, whether it's in a game or warmups. You know, Ray Allen was always one of my favorites. Reggie Miller, is Steph at the top of the list for you in that regard?
Yeah, for sure. I think his a couple different things. I think he kind of like Jimmer, you know, he really kind of took this whole fire and when ready approach. And the thing I love about him too is he works so hard. Like, you just watch him off the ball and trying to come off screens and get shots, and you know how he has to stagger his pace, but it is constant movement, and that even makes it more impressive to me that he shoots such a high percentage. But you know, as a little exercise tonight, if you're watching the Jazz game, watch Curry just fly around the court, and you know, you can only imagine what kind of shape this guy must be in to be able to do all that and then compose himself, get set, and knock in tough shots.
Yeah, the other night when you and I were working the game together, at one point you said, "Hey, Hans, I want you to just watch off ball and watch how they face guard Jordan Clarkson." And I watched the defender trail him, and I mean, he's going over the top of screens and he's maneuvering and trying to fight through all kinds of situations to stay in front of and on top of Jordan Clarkson. Do you try to defend Steph Curry in a similar way? If so, who on the Jazz roster can do that? If not, how do you defend him?
Well, I think that's one thing the Jazz have actually been pretty good at. I mean, that goes all the way back to the very first game of the year. They employed kind of a face guard on Lillard and did a nice job with it. They held Trae Young to, you know, a crazy number. I want to say it was single digits, like 6 points in a game, doing the same thing. Just following him around, tracing him, really no care where the ball is. And so I'd imagine we'll see some of that tonight. You know, there's lots of different guys that can take that assignment, but I would assume, you know, with the starters out there, that, you know, Royce will probably get a good share of that. You know, they've used Mike Conley when Mike's healthy to be one of those guys, the face guards and chase around. But it takes a lot of energy, and you're going to take a lot of hits that night. You know, it is a whole dose of, you know, many, many screens, ball screens, off-ball screens, during a possession. So the one thing you do understand is you're going to get hit if you're guarding Curry.
It's a little bummed out. I mean, look, I loved hanging out with you, but we didn't have the greatest of games to talk about with those two blowout victories against San Antonio. Then Austin gets you on Friday, and I think one of the more iconic moments of the season was that win over Denver, in particular, because, you know, you always hear the sky hooks, the unblockable shot. Unless Rudy Gobert's defending you and Jokic gets that thing sent back and the Jazz get the three in transition going the other way to Clarkson. I mean, that's about as good as it gets right there as far as moments of that we may look back on and talk about this season. That's got to be near the top of the list.
I'm telling you, that is the, in my mind, that is the best played game of the year by both teams, you know, that I've watched. It was just, defense was definitely at a disadvantage because both teams were absolutely amazing at shot selection. You know, Denver got out of a rhythm, but man, they were in such a rhythm in the first half. And when they stick Jokic in different spots, you know, particularly head on the rim, it really makes it difficult to get back to him on pick and pops. You know, they did a nice job of moving Rudy around, making things work. And then I'm just so impressed with Porter Jr. I mean, what a huge jump that guy's made. I kind of chuckle because there were a lot of pundits last year that were talking about Porter being this liability that offense would never make up for what he gives up defensively, and that's already not true because he's already that good and just continues to get better. But a great game, one that the Jazz had to, you know, face some adversity and got down 10. But I love the way they chipped away at it. I loved coaching. Thought they, you know, that Quinn pulled all the right levers, and it was an exciting game. Like the atmosphere, you know, coming in start the year when there's no one in this building. Jake and I literally sat in the upper bowl by ourselves first of the year to watch games, and to feel and hear and then watch people mill around after, you know, it's starting to feel like playoff time, man. It's really exciting.
So talking about high-volume shots, Bojan Bogdanović is getting a little bit more comfortable taking some of the shots that Mike Conley and Donovan Mitchell have left on the court. When they come back, how difficult is that for him? And does that change his volume dramatically when they do come back, especially if he's hitting like he was hitting the other night?
Yeah, I think, I mean, just by virtue of who's coming back and the way the Jazz have played throughout the year, I mean, David Locke the other night after the game, Friday, he talked about, imagining something you really love to do and then getting 25% less opportunity the next year. And that's really, Bojan's taking 25% less shots. And I think that, part of it for him is, you know, it was interesting to try to find spots. And then I also believe he's been dealing with an injury. The wrist was kind of hit and miss all year long. But whatever clicked has just been unbelievable. And I'm telling you guys, go find me a team with a fourth option. You know, when you talk about what the Jazz really look for when they're all whole, you know, they're going to play with Donovan. Mike's going to get a whole lot. Rudy's going to get a lot. And then everybody else, it just kind of sprinkles around. And Bojan, as that guy, got 48 points in a game. I mean, it's just I can't think back in Jazz history. You know, you think back of duos, and then you look at the third guy, and when would we ever add a dude that can really light it up? And then the other crazy part is we got another guy in Clarkson who can get 40 on a night too. Mm-hmm. So I think that's what makes this so exciting is and I said this when the injuries happened. I'm like, you can look at this a couple different ways. You know, you can all hang your head and sulk and woe is us. You know, we were number one all year and now we're going to lose it because of injury. Or we can figure out a way to take this team that's pretty damn good and find ways to get other guys confidence. And I think that's the tack the Jazz have taken. It's worked to perfection, and now the next step has to work too. You got to bring these guys back in. But what the little sliver that I love there is that week that the Jazz will have off after this week, right? Next week, with play-in tournament, there's going to be some time to gear down, get everybody together, and for the first time ever, really probably practice a little bit because the Jazz have not been able to practice a ton this year with COVID, and the games being packed in the way it have. So. I really think there is a rainbow here at the end of the storm, and I'm really excited because we are, you know, we're just mere. We got four games left, and we're going to know who we play, or at least we'll know the position we're in and who the pool of teams are. But it's been a really exciting last couple weeks.
How much time would you like, given the fact that based on the timing of what the release said, where they're going to evaluate Donovan Mitchell in a week, that probably gets him one, maybe two games. If you're the coaching staff, do you want to get him in one game before the playoffs? Is that important considering you have a week off?
I think it all just depends on if he's ready. And I think if he's ready, there's probably lots of different ways you can approach it. Like Quinn always talks about, I mean, nowadays the trainers are so, you know, they're a member of that staff. They're aligned so closely with the organization, and everybody's got the understanding, the goals for what they want to do moving forward. So I really think at that point, I would like it, but it is all going to depend on, because I do believe they've been leading with, the most important thing for long term. And as long as they continue to do that, you know, I think you just let the chips fall where they may.
So tonight, Utah Jazz, Golden State, as we're watching this game, let's say that this is the 1-8 matchup. It just comes down this way. Is there really anything you can glean from this, not having Conley and Mitchell on the court? And I don't know if Golden State's full health, but is there much you can take away from this?
Oh, yeah.
In terms of that potential matchup and what the outcome might be.
Yeah, for sure. Because, you know, again, nobody's going to really show their cards now for what the game plan. Everybody's going to have a strategy and a game plan. They're going to have a little time to put that together. But this is, an opportunity. They talked about the initials KYP all the time in a scouting report, Know Your Personnel. The other night, the Jazz in the Denver game started the game with, they had different types of closeout rules and different types of positioning defensively on different guys. And to start the game, they got a little twisted up, got a little confused, and it took a minute. And I think that the most important thing that will come out of this is it's just a familiarity you'll gain again. You know, Jazz have not played Golden State in a minute. So to be able to play them, understand, most teams are going to have a DNA, and especially, Golden State, for the most part, is if Curry's out there, that's their guy, that's their go-to guy, that's their team. So you're going to get a feel for what it is to navigate screens, at 70 miles an hour, getting whacked and having to continue to keep coming, and all the different things that personnel will teach you if you pay attention. I think anything you can do from an experience standpoint against a particular club. And get some recency to it, I think that will really help. And if the Jazz do end up playing Golden State, they'll certainly have a recent film to be able to go back to compare to things that they've done earlier in the year. And then coaches are the best; like they're gonna save some special stuff for the playoffs. And so you just dig into that once you get going, and then that's when the adjustments happen game to game.
How were you surprised to see Ryland Jones hit the transfer portal, and what do you think the future holds for him?
I don't know that I was. I mean, I lived the very thing that they're going through, and it really is a little weird. And I can't imagine Ryland being on the inside. Like, I think people have to understand this kid grew up, his dad was, it was involved at Utah State, was involved at Utah, and, Ryland got to feel what it felt like to be part of the family. And regardless of what, an AD says or a new coach says, it's pretty hard to hide the fact that, at the end of the day, you can my dad and all his friends. And so I think there's some PTSD possibly even that, I'm going to be honest, if I can avoid driving through BYU campus, I do, just because I've got a lot of memories there. I'd like them to be memories that I remember for good. And, if I get tickets to a game or something, I'll go. But I think there is part of it that you do move on. And the hard part for Ryland is everybody around him is moving on, his family, the people that recruited him. But yet he's standing there in the exact same situation with a whole bunch of new faces. And it's got to seem a little strange. I'm really high on the kid. I think he's a phenomenal player. He might be one of the best pick-and-roll decision-makers and executors I've ever seen at the high school level. I just would – the stuff he does is Stockton-esque in a lot of ways. Gives up his body, sets great screens, always taking the charge. It's all the little things, in a day and age where people are clamoring, how do I get more shots? What are you going to do for me? Ryland just goes out there and says, all right, this is how we're going to win this game, does it. So huge fan of his. I'll be interested to follow and see what happens. I know there's been a lot of smoke that Utah State's, going to be heavily involved, which would make sense because he lived there. But these things don't ever always just totally go according to script. There's always a couple surprises. So it'll be interesting to see it. But couldn't be a bigger fan of Ryland. I think it speaks way less about, Craig in Utah than it does about just where Ryland was in his mind. And that's some tricky stuff to have to maneuver now. So, it's just part of, new horizons, new opportunities. And I wish the kid the best.
Did you ever, whether it was Ryland or maybe Sam, where you know where they're going to end up, but you know you have to recruit them because you're supposed to recruit them, but you know that you don't really have a shot? I mean, was that the case with Rylan, or did you feel like you might have been able to get him at BYU?
So I've known Rylan since he was about 3 years old, you know, 2 years old. I've known the kid, you know, he's been to my house, I've been to his house, we've golfed together, and done all sorts of things, his families and stuff. And so I certainly, like I just said, you know, when I was recruiting, he was exactly the type of guy you're looking for. Same goes for Sam Merrill, but I learned early on with Sam, you know, Utah State was like Duke to him, and BYU was like Duke's North Carolina. So, I mean, that was going to be a hard ask, and I tried like crazy early on, and then he made a pretty early decision. Rylan, you know, I just called Jonesy and said, hey, I don't want to mess around. Is like, would there be any chance? And, you know, Chris and I just had a really upfront conversation. And, you know, Chris loved Coach Rose. They've got a great relationship, and he loved the way we played. But at the end of the day, you know, blood's thicker than water. And so we all kind of knew how it was going to go. But in both those cases, you know, exactly like you said, knew the outcome probably wasn't going to be what we wanted. But from a respect standpoint, you know, you're talking about a guy now who's in the NBA, and Rylan's phenomenal. I just wanted to make sure it wasn't for lack of, you know, leaving something unturned. I want to put everything on the table. And when we did that, you know, we were able to have a really meaningful conversation. It wasn't going to be a place that worked for them. But those two kids will be lifelong friends of mine and their families. And to me, that's what it's all about.
Yeah. Coach, always a pleasure. Thanks for your time, and I look forward to doing it again next week.
Thanks, Coach.
Hey, Hans, you might want to walk back to the mic before you yell on it. What were you? Were you across the room grabbing a sandwich?
You can't slip anything past Coach, can you?
Oh, man. This just tells me how much he's excited to get Jake Scott back.
Yeah, I love you guys. Keep the heater up, though. Don't turn that thing down. I deal with the wrath of that every night. So keep that thing at 74.
We got to bring back the icebox just for Jake, just for old time's sake. Welcome him back.
We'll cool her off.
All right, guys. Thanks so much. Love you, boys.
Get back at you. There you go. Tim Lacombe right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Hans and Scotty, take a quick break, come back, and we'll continue on here on The Zone with the good, the bad, the ugly. Matt's hanging out with us once again. And an opportunity for you to really better your lifestyle or someone you love. And look, Matt, as we look at home prices just blowing up right now, it's not a great time to buy a home, but if you are in a home and you have 50% or more equity in that home, it could really work out in your benefit right now.
Yeah, it really can. So, I mean, if you think about your home as an asset that has grown, you know, in an amazing fashion over the past few years, and especially over the last couple, you know, you may either have a very small mortgage that's remaining on it, or no mortgage at all. And if you're sitting, you know, there at, you know, 62 plus and saying, okay, this is great, I've got this house, and maybe it's worth $400,000 or $600,000 or $800,000. That's fantastic, but you can't really touch that money, right? Your house is kind of like this golden nugget that you can't, you know, really grab money out of unless, you know, you're getting it from your traditional, you know, ways of, you know, home equity line of credit, cash out refinance, or if you sell it. The reverse mortgage allows for an opportunity to where, if you have a mortgage, it can get paid off, and then you can have a very substantial line of credit. Or if you don't have any mortgage at all, you can start this out to where you have a massive line of credit. Here's the benefits of this line of credit. The line of credit is going to grow at 0.5% greater than whatever the interest rate is on the loan. And the money that you take out will go into the loan balance and also into your checking account. But you can also put money from your checking account back into the loan balance, which then increases your line of credit. So this is this nice little scale that goes back and forth. But what this does is it allows our seniors the ability to tap into equity in their home that is right now not tappable. And they can use it for life. And so, I mean, this is just a wonderful way that, you know, our seniors can – you know, really access this money and use it.
Go to reverseourhome.com. That's reverseourhome.com. Or better yet, just call Matt directly on his cell. You can text him, 801-330-2200. And Matt, you want to fill up that that free live class coming up May 25th, where I'm sure people are going to have a lot of questions. There's a lot of misconceptions out there about reverse mortgage, and you can walk through every little detail on how this can help out people.
Yeah, we're going to go through, you know, what the program is and what it's not. There's a lot of misconceptions, as you've already mentioned, about the program, and we're going to clear it all up. And, you know, this class is going to be fun. It's going to be informative. We're going to have food there. And, you know, May 25th at noon, send me a text. Let me know that you want to be there. 801-330-2200.
There you go. Call that number right now, 801-330-2200. This is 97.5, 1280 The Zone.
This is DJ and PK. Ben Golliver joining us, national NBA writer for the Washington Post. The question in every market is, can they win it all? Can the Jazz do it?
Of course they can do it. They've been not only best record, but most dominant. It's been unbelievable to watch them move the ball, hit the three-point shot, play unselfishly, and play disciplined. Probably their hope is that they're going to be a team that is one of those five fingers makes a fist type teams where they're better than the sum of their parts. I don't think it's going to be anyone coasting through this Western Conference. It's going to be an absolute bloodbath, but the Jazz have to be in the mix, and if the Lakers aren't healthy, you could even potentially talk me into saying, you know, the Jazz are the favorites to come out of the West. And right now the clock is ticking big time on LeBron and Anthony Davis in terms of getting them healthy and up to speed. If the Jazz aren't the favorites to me in the West, they're right there.
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 till 10 on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. It's time to saddle up and talk about the winners and the losers. This is the good, the bad, and the ugly. Now, here's the good.
Good, the bad, the ugly right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network, brought to you by Zero Res. Get those carpets cleaned. $33 per room, 801-288-9376. That's 801-288-9376. This was weird, by the way.
Give me your take on this. What are you thinking when this thing... And when did you see it first?
So I saw it yesterday, popping around the web, around Twitter. Kendrick Perkins, former NBA player.
Former jazz man.
For a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
I just love saying that.
Nobody will ever forget the Kendrick Perkins era here in a jazz uniform. But he sent out a PSA, I don't know, like a Stop Hating on Utah campaign. It was weird, a little bizarre, flattering, but
is it, a lot of jazz fans are apprehensive. They believe that he's being sarcastic or
kind of like when Kerry got named to the homecoming queen and then they spilled the blood on
him. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
There are some that believe that Dwayne Wade now having part ownership is going to move people like Kendrick Perkins this way, but it...
Yeah, but he's been kind of on their bandwagon this year.
Yeah, Perks had their back.
Yeah.
I think it's sincere.
I just have seen a lot of people that don't feel it's sincere. In fact, I sent a tweet about it this morning, and you can go check out the video at 975 Hans. He's got highlights, and he's got some other things. Are we playing the thing in its entirety? You know, this starts out, Scotty, with LeBron James saying, no, we're not taking these guys. When we played video games back in the day, we didn't play with Stockton and Malone. That's how this starts, and then Kendrick Perkins starts into his jazz PSA.
You guys got to understand, just like in video games growing up, we never played with Utah. Even as great as Karl Malone and John Stockton were, we would have never picked those guys in video games. Never.
I mean, damn. Do you ever suffer from disrespecting the Utah Jazz? Do you ever see Rudy Gobert and say, what's that French dude's name again? Do you hear the name Spider? And your first thought is never Donovan Mitchell? We all know y'all millennials listen to a lot of hip hop, Drake and all those fellas. But kicking back and vibing to jazz is as OG as it gets. I get it. I understand that sometimes it's hard not to talk trash about Utah. Y'all want to throw salt on Salt Lake City, but I have the solution for you. What's good, my good people? It's your boy Kendrick Perkins, Big Perk. And here at Hoop Streams, we just want to help. And if you're tired of the Jazz disrespect, just call the damn number on the damn screen. Or hashtag Respect Utah Jazz again. And make a difference. Hell, even Dwayne Wade wants a piece of the pie. Or shall I say he got a piece of the pie with a scoop of vanilla ice cream on the side. And my good people, Salt Lake City needs our help. And together, we can make a change and put some respect back on Utah's name.
I'd rather see Sally Struthers put something together than Perk, but all right.
I'm so confused.
That's weird. So
you're saying that is 100%.
I think he's being genuine. I just think he's not really good at doing stuff like this. I don't know. Like, it just doesn't make any sense to me. It doesn't. But
well, hey. What's your take on this? What did you think when you first heard it?
I had a Morgan Freeman feel to it. It had a Morgan Freeman.
Did you feel it was genuine from the heart?
Like yes.
So you feel like
he was back in the jazz.
I
thought he was having fun, but I feel like he was back in the jazz. I thought he was trying to do a funny bit, too.
You guys have seen, though, jazz fans aren't buying this. Jazz fans aren't buying this at all.
No.
I don't know why he would switch to that. He's been, like I said, he's been loving them all year. Like, he's been on their bandwagon all season.
Hmm. Well, I liked it
unless
because...
it's just like a long con. I don't know.
I don't know.
I liked it because it was funny. It was offbeat. I'd never seen anything like this before, really. I mean, it's got a video that accompanies it with different graphics and highlights, and it's overly bizarre. But maybe he puts this out there so that if the Jazz do, by chance, make it to a championship and crazy things happen in that championship game and the Jazz pull it off, he could say, you remember that video?
I did that. That was me. I was on it before anybody else.
I was on this team long before anybody else. Is that what this is about?
Probably. All right, there's your good. Let's get to the bad.
Now the bad.
Okay, so, Scotty, I'm going to draw you up a for instance, okay?
Okay.
We're going to go back to 2013.
All right.
And Lloyd, I'll involve you on this. Since 2013, so eight seasons. Let's say your Broncos or Lloyd, your Raiders, in eight seasons, make it to the Super Bowl, four of the eight. Okay? But here's the caveat. But so they make it to the Super Bowl four of the 8 years. But in those 4 years, they lose 54-10. 48-14, 38-7, and 54-20.
This actually do sound like Broncos Super Bowl scores from the
that's actually what I was gonna say.
From the 80s.
Scotty looked at me and I'm like, yeah.
I'm like, that 54-7 kind of hits close to home, actually.
So you get an 8 year period where you're there four times, you make it to the Super Bowl, but you're completely blown out and embarrassed. How do you feel about that 8 year span?
Not great.
No, I don't even want to go. I'd rather not go.
You'd rather not go?
I would rather not go.
There's nothing worse than getting
blown out. Whoa. Stop.
No, he's right. He's right. There's nothing.
Go.
No, he's 100% right. There's nothing worse than getting blown out on the big stage.
You'd rather not have your team?
Hell yes. 100%.
Get embarrassed in front of millions?
Right,
Are you kidding me?
Lloyd's dealt with it once. I've dealt with it, you know, four times, three times. Wait a minute. How many times did Elway go when he got blown out? It was... the Giants, Redskins, 49ers. So three times. And then there was the Peyton Manning Seahawks one.
Yeah.
It is miserable. It's awful. You'd rather lose in the AFC championship game than get blown out.
You're grumpy and you're sitting with
people around
the game
you,
and having
and they're all quiet and they're like,
get out of my house.
And you want them to be gone? Yeah, it's awful. 100%. Don't want
to. Leave my ribs. You're not going to take those too.
Yeah.
Get out.
Don't eat my ribs. Get out.
Okay, so. What do you think about
turning off the TV?
Okay, so in that 8 years, let's say it's the same coaching staff. How do you feel about the coaching staff?
Well, I mean, there's like, you know, okay, like Dan Reeves, I was never a huge fan, but he got him there. But I look at more talent level than anything. You know, it's like you have the talent to be able to get it done. And, you know, in those cases, you just didn't have it. So I don't look at it as a coaching thing. I look at it as more maybe what you, your talent level just doesn't match up.
Well, the scenario that I'm drawing up for you guys is what's happened with BYU's men volleyball over the last 8 years. They've been to the national championship four times in the last 8 years. But here's your scores. You ready? They lost 3-0 to UC Irvine, 3-0 to Ohio State twice. So two times Ohio State and BYU got there and lost twice. And then 3-0 to Hawaii on Saturday. So they are combined 0-12 in sets in four championship appearances in the last 8 years. And I don't know what to make of it. Like, I think BYU fans are excited and happy about it. If there are fans of men's volleyball, I'm a women's volleyball guy. I don't follow BYU's volleyball, their men's volleyball. And I do a little bit with their women's volleyball. But we're talking about 0-12 in championships games. And so I'm conflicted on this. It's like, do you just feel good about making it to the championship? Or do you feel like, well, what's happening when we get there? So we got all this talent, but then you get to the championship game and lose again?
And badly.
And badly. And they lost by a collective 19 points through those three sets in this championship game.
Well, here's the other number that I think is interesting and might play into it. There's only 23 NCAA Division I men's volleyball teams. 23, that's it, in the country.
Wait a second. Come again.
There's only 23 NCAA Division I men's volleyball teams.
Oh, I thought there was way more than
that. No, 23. Title IX has wrecked it. I mean, I'm just saying that's the teams that get sacrificed.
Men's wrestling, and I know what you're saying.
It's got to be equitable. I'm not knocking Title IX. Don't, please, please, please. Can't handle that heat. So, but I'm just saying that because of that, there's just not a lot of teams out there. So I want to be careful. I say it's kind of easy to get there when you're only battling 20, you know, two of 23, you're going to play for a championship. Your odds are actually not that bad. And so you can get there. And then if you're not the most talented team, you're going to get beat up pretty quick.
Well, kind of a bummer because I knew, a lot of people, Hawaii was the number one ranked team, but a lot of people felt like BYU was overly loaded because the guys that were returning. Not the outcome that anybody at BYU was looking for.
Yeah.
And I don't know how to feel about it. But with your explanation of how many D1 programs are out there, it's like you probably should have found a way to win one of those.
Yeah.
But then is that too much to ask? It's a national championship. I don't know. It's weird.
Hans and Scotty, this is 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Whole World News coming up next right here on The Zone.
The Big Show. The Big Show with Jake Scott and Gordon Monson.
Derek Favors with us, 97.5 and 1280 The Zone.
So, Derek, 48-18 at this point. Is this about what you thought this team was capable of? And in addition to that, do you think this team is capable of going deep into the playoffs, contending for a title for real?
No, I think we can definitely make a deep run in the playoffs, and I think we can continue to get better, especially on the defensive end and on the offensive end. I think we haven't reached our full potential yet, especially when Mike comes back, when Donovan comes back. You know, I think we'll be a scary team in the playoffs.
Catch The Big Show weekday from 2 to 7, presented by Big O Tires, the team you trust, on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
We've got the whole world in our hands.
You've got the whole world in our hands. We've got the whole world in our hands. We've got the whole world in our hands. We've got the whole world in our hands. You've got you and me.
Hans and Scotty, 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. It is another edition of Whole World News, spanning the globe to try to find things that hopefully interest you.
Brought to you by Elite Works. If you're looking for that free website rebuild, call them 844-523-2777. Tell them Hans and Scotty sent you for your free rebuild. So, Scotty, the Ohio State Senate got together, and they were having a massive Zoom meeting. there was probably 12 different people that were a part of his Zoom call. And they were going over a proposed bill to stop people from using their cell phones while they're driving. Well, the senator, this Ohio State senator, his name is Andrew Brenner. You can see at the beginning of the video, he's sitting in his car during the Zoom call. And so you totally see him. He's in his car, but you see that the car is stationary. But then his screen goes blank for a second, and it comes back, and he's got his seatbelt on. And then the screen goes from him in his car to a fake office in the background. And yeah. Then... And then you see him like turning his head like to see if cars are coming, because you can tell he's pulling out of a parking lot or something. But then he keeps looking at the camera like, hey, I'm in my office. But then all of a sudden the camera, because you know those fake settings, if you move too much, you can see the background.
Yeah.
He moves and you can see that he's in his car and he's driving during the Zoom meeting. During a Senate meeting about disallowing cell phone use while you're driving.
If the seatbelt wasn't enough to give it away.
Him, the actual scene of him driving gave it away.
Yeah.
I don't even know how this stuff happens. So now he's in all kinds of hot water.
Well, he should be. I mean, look, just because you got your seatbelt on isn't protecting just you. I mean, come on.
Do you want his, this is his excuse. You ready?
Yeah.
He said, I was not distracted. I was paying attention to the driving and listening to the meeting. Geez. I had two meetings that were back to back that were in separate locations. And I've actually been on other calls, numerous calls while driving. Phone calls for the most part, but on video calls, I'm not paying attention to the video. To me, it's just like a phone call. This is what Senator Brennan said.
Oh, geez. So why did you go to all that work? And in fact, when I saw it and I retweeted, I think on Friday, it's like,
oh, you did?
Yeah, just
oh,
I go.
Shoot, I didn't see it.
I was like, hey, you know what? Just go video or just go audio only then. Like,
yeah, why even start with an image of you
just
in the car?
Just get rid of the video. Just say, hey, look, I'm in a place with bad. Okay, now I'm condoning lying, but just say, like, look, I'm in a bad place with bad Wi-Fi. It won't support the video, so I'm coming in audio only. That's all you got to do. It's pretty simple. Why is this? Like, sometimes I really wonder, because, like, our politicians, aren't they supposed to be the best of us?
Yeah, they're supposed to
be
intelligent.
Aren't they the best and the smartest?
And
law-abiding and just the best of us should be running for office.
You would hope.
That's why I would never run for office, because I'm not the best of anybody. Like, I shouldn't represent anybody out there.
They're supposed to be leaders.
Yes.
Now, many of them aren't.
I know. And then you see people do stupid stuff like that, wear a seatbelt in a video Zoom call, and you have your home behind you thinking, oh, no way they'll pick up on this. I got them. Like, you're a moron. You're an idiot. You don't deserve to work at a car wash, let alone...
On the Senate floor.
Yeah. Get out of here.
I don't get it. How can you be that dumb? You're right. Just don't have the video. If you've got to sit in on this thing, just don't have the video of you.
Yeah.
Okay, so what is the take? Zoom calls during a car, while you're in the car. Like, I don't even know what the...
I would say audio only and treat it like a phone call.
So just let it come through the Bluetooth.
Yep. I think that's okay. We talk on the phone via Bluetooth. A lot of cars have that ability. You can keep focus on driving.
But it is very taboo to have your video on.
But video
while you're
is just stupid. Yeah, because you feel like you have to look at it, and so then your eyes are looking at the screen. No, just, you know what? First off, don't do it. If you have to do it. Oh no. Sorry, I just have Twitter up. The Jaguars are planning to sign Tim Tebow to a 1-year contract.
Hot damn. Tonight.
A deal that could be official in the next week or so. Nothing done yet, but we'll have a chance. But we'll have a chance to make the team and reunite with Urban Meyer.
Well, he's earned it, so.
Hold on. Let me go down to the bottom here. Tim
Tebow. Put in a lot of hard work.
It's a Joe Shad from Ian Rappaport.
Tim Tebow on a 53-man trip to paradise on it.
He's got to make the 53.
Yep, got to make the 53. That is explained here in the bet. Lloyd, were you
You're
in on this, or is this just between
us? No, it was just between
us. It's just you two. Oh. I don't go to Paradise.
Hey, we need to, though, this week sometime.
Oh, you let Scotty and I take you to Paradise.
Oh, yeah. Lloyd, come on.
Where the sushi's pretty. Where the grass is green and the sushi's pretty.
Where the sushi flows like the women of Capistrano.
Yeah, man, it's so yummy.
Hey, a good friend of ours, Pace Mannion, is going to join us next. We're going to chat with him and get his thoughts on his son, Nico Mannion, what it's been like for him his rookie season. Then, of course, this Jazz matchup with the Golden State Warriors. Matt's hanging out with us right now as get a chance to talk about the way he can help you right now with a reverse mortgage. Go to reverseourhome.com for more information, or better yet, call Matt right now, and let's talk more about that live class that's going to go on May 25th and what people are going to learn there.
Hans, I thought that it was only PK that had the singing voice. That was pretty crazy.
Every once in a while, I'll come up with a lyric.
You know what? I've really been trying to improve my radio voice, so hang tight here. I gotta clear my throat.
Okay, ready?
Hey!
Okay. Matt, that's much better.
What? Oh, man. I don't even know how you worked that in right there.
Oh, but I didn't say anything. We've got a great producer on this show, and he knows when I've got to clear my voice.
And it happens to the best of us.
He saw it coming.
No doubt.
All right, guys, let's talk about reverses. For this segment, I really kind of want to focus in on the purchase side. So if you're 62 and older, and you're sitting in this, in your home, and you're looking at it going, gosh, this home just doesn't quite fit what it is that we need, or, we need to move for whatever reason. This program allows you to take the equity that you have in your home and go out and buy another home, but you only have to use a portion of the money that you normally would if you wanted to buy it cash and not have to have that monthly payment.
And that's the thing, that there's so many opportunities for you to put that equity of yours into good use. And I think an opportunity to really learn more about this is coming up at that meeting on May 25th.
Yeah, it really is. And I want to really encourage anybody out there that wants to learn about what this program really is, because we've heard about it. But I can tell you that most people that I talk to have, a very, limited understanding of what this program is or what it used to be. And it has changed so much, especially over the past couple of years, into where it's really a premium program. And my goal is, as the two of you know, is to educate and really, allow our listeners to understand that this is something that is available to them. So we're going to be doing a live class. Super excited about this. We kind of had to put it on hold for the past year or so, but it's going to be catered. There's going to be lunch, and we're going to go through all the ins and outs of this program and how it's used. If you're in your house right now and you want to remain there and you want to be able to access some equity, we're going to talk about that. If you want to move into a brand new house and want to figure out what the best way is to do that as well, we're going to go down that road. But again, the number one goal is to help and, get you into a position where you can, be in a better financial spot.
All that information you can find out in a couple different ways. First off, you can call Matt directly on his cell, 801-330-2200. That's 801-330-2200. You can also go to reverseourhome.com. That's reverseourhome.com. Or you can just call Matt and reserve a spot at that free live class coming up on May 25th, lunch is provided. Great opportunity for you to find out if this works for you. 801-330-2200 or go to reverseourhome.com.
Okay, you ready?